So I need to acknowledge a couple of my co-authors there, Dr. Peter Kleinman from the USDA ARS in Pennsylvania, and from the University of Minnesota, Dr. Gary Sands, who is an engineer that has been working with me on this project since we got started. So what's the problem, and what we've been looking at is, at least where I'm located in Minnesota, is our drainage systems essentially lead into rivers, streams, ditches, those types of things that ultimately get into the Mississippi and River and flow down to the Gulf of Mexico. And the EPA Science Advisory Board report from 2008 indicated that the magnitude of the hypoxic zone is related to the load of nitrogen and phosphorus that comes from the basin during the months of April, May, and June. So, of course, this is something that, given where I live and operate in an agricultural setting, raises some questions about what are we actually doing. So the objective here is really twofold. We're really looking at a larger project where, of course, today I'm just going to focus on the phosphorus aspects of the project, but we're looking at trying to quantify yield and nutrient losses from some field scale research in southwestern Minnesota, and of course, like I said, today we're going to focus on P. But we're also interested not only in quantifying the effects of our management systems out there, we're also interested in looking at trying to quantify the processes and the mechanisms that are occurring within these field sites that we've got. So at first I'm going to talk a little bit about controlled drainage and give you an idea of what that really means and what it actually looks like. So I've got an animation here I'm going to show you in a minute, but generally speaking, when we use the process of controlled drainage in a drainage system, we're basically limiting the amount of water that can discharge from a given area, so in our case a field size area, and we basically look at managing it really three different times during the season. We're really looking at managing during the planting and the harvesting seasons, and then we're also interested in managing during the non-growing season as well as during the growing season, and I'll see if we can get this going. It worked earlier, so we'll see how this looks. So initially here, this is what it would look like during the planting season, and then, of course, during the harvesting season when it was down at the drain depth. I'll see if we can get that to play again. So this is during the planting and the draining, or the harvest season. This is during the growing season where we raise the water table up to within about 60 centimeters of the soil surface, and then during the non-growing season, we raise it all the way up to within about 15 centimeters of the soil surface. So our field experiment is in Minnesota, a little bit further north than Ohio, and of course we do get frozen conditions and rather cold temperatures. The actual field site is down here in southwestern Minnesota, and this is actually a picture of the site. We're using a paired analysis design in this particular study, so we're limited on replication, but we overcome that by using the paired design where we have a calibration period and a treatment period. So we started this project back in 2006. During 2006 and 2007, we operated the systems in the calibration mode, and since 2007, we've been managing the systems in the treatment mode. So the treatment modes, when you look at this, the west zone of the field is about 22 hectares, represented in green here. This is our controlled drainage zone. The east management zone is about 15 hectares, and in our free drainage or conventional drainage mode, we've got two locations where we are collecting water samples, monitoring flow, and measuring water quality. This field has actually been in the family that we're working with since 1887, and prior to 2005, there was no subsurface drainage in this field. So this farmer worked with us to install this system for his own production, but also for us to be able to look at the practice of controlled drainage on his farm. The field, as you can see here, there are a bunch of yellow little dots out there across that. We've measured quite a few different parameters, soil hydraulic properties, soil chemical properties, on the site since its inception in 05. And, of course, I won't be presenting any of that today. Management-wise, I've just kind of encapsulated about 7 or 8 years here for you. 05 was small grains, and that's when the installation of the drainage system occurred. Otherwise, the farmer has been going on a corn-soybean type of a rotation. The field site has only received manure once, and that was in 2008. The farmer had applied manure, liquid hog manure from a finishing barn at a rate of about 99 kilograms of pea per hectare. Otherwise, before the corn, he usually puts on about 67 kilograms per hectare of pea. These soil tests were the soil tests of what we looked at in the field before the drainage system was installed. And his management here of 67 kilograms per hectare had been fairly long term on this site. We have collected soil test values after the applications of the manure as well as these other years, but I'm not showing that data at this point. When we look at the water quality monitoring, we've got a suite of things that that we look at. We look at total N, nitrate, nitrogen, ammonium nitrogen, total P, and dissolved reactive P at this site. We're using flow injection analysis for both of the total dissolved reactive P and total P, and we do an autoclave digestion using potassium persulfate for our total phosphorus. So, to give a little bit of a preview of what some of the data look like, this is during the treatment period. So I've left off the calibration data for 06 and 07 just so that we could focus in on what things look like. So we've got the free drainage and the controlled drainage areas in 08 and 09. The free drainage area, of course, you can see we've got a fairly long period of flow here during 2008 and relatively long period of flow in 09, although we've had several years in 08 and 09 where we've had relatively dry conditions. I might also add that although it was rather dry in 2008, in September and October of 2007, we had over 200 millimeters of rainfall, which contributed to the large losses of water, large discharges early in 2008 here. We're also showing the total load of phosphorus coming out. You'll note the loads here are in grams per hectare, so we have considerably lower losses than you did, but of course our rates of phosphorus are quite a bit lower as well. In the control drainage side, of course, the periods of drainage are much shorter because there's a relatively short period when we actually allow water to drain from those systems. And again, you can look at these loads here. They're actually a bit higher when we start looking at controlled drainage versus the free drainage here. Although again, when we look at this in a summary of the data and we look at the annual loads, there will be some differences between the controlled and the free drainage systems. When we look at the discharge and we compare that to the flow-weighted mean concentrations for total phosphorus, what I've done is for 08 and 09, I've taken a snapshot of the early parts of the season. So this amounts to just over a month in 2008 and just over 2 months in 2009. So of course here the solid line is the free drainage area during that period, and the dotted line here represents the control drainage area. And that's the same for both drainage systems. When we start looking at the free drainage and the control drainage total phosphorus, we look at the fact that during the drainage period for the control drainage, we get a rather high flow-weighted mean concentration of total phosphorus compared to what we see coming out of the free drainage area. The units are different, of course. In 2009, we had considerably less flow, but our flow-weighted concentrations were considerably higher. And again, particularly during the period when we actually had drainage come out of the control drainage versus the free drainage, we were probably about three orders of magnitude higher in the flow-weighted concentration coming out of the control drainage side. When we started seeing these types of relationships, We started having some questions raised in our minds about what could be causing that and why is it happening. So we've got a summary of some of the seasonal loads. So if you look at 08 and 09 here, the west control drainage area and the east free drainage area for some three-month periods. When you look at the April through June period, which is generally when our farmers are getting into the field and actually being able to conduct some field work, the control drainage had relatively low amounts of drainage compared to the free drainage. And then, of course, this was extended during 2009. We look at the total losses of phosphorus during the period. We lost considerably more coming out of the free drained area compared to the control drainage. However, when we look at the loads, and again, this carries over for dissolved reactive phosphorus, the loads end up being considerably higher when we look at the control drainage side. We have a similar scenario during 2009, particularly when we're really looking at this period during April through June when both of the systems are performing at the same time. And again, we see a rather low flow-weighted concentration, although in this case, because of the load that we had coming out, there was quite a bit more total phosphorus lost during 2009 compared to, for the control drainage compared to the free drainage side. So if we just take a real quick snapshot, and I left the calibration data in here just so you could kind of get an idea of what things were looking like over time. Of course, we've been focusing over here. So if you look at the total phosphorus losses between the controlled and the free drainage sides for 08 and 09, they're flip-flopped a little bit here, mainly because of the nature of the flow in 2009. Because of being so dry, and then again similarities in the flow weighted concentrations and also for the dissolved reactive P for those two different treatments. Now, one of the things that we've struggled a little bit, and we saw this early on, is just what are some plausible explanations for why we've seen some of the things we've seen with phosphorus. One of the things that we've been able to rule out are our long-term manure applications. As I've said, in about the last 9 years, we've only had one manure application out there. We don't have very high soil test phosphorus levels out there, we don't really have coarse textures. These tend to be loams and clay loams. Some of the plausible explanations, this could be the artifact of the installation of a new drainage system. We do get cracks, as has been seen in Canada, where we could have some preferential flow also going on. Dissolution of phosphorus-bearing minerals is another possibility. We do see occasionally in some systems where there's sedimentation of phosphorus in the drain tiles that could act as a source and a sink. But what we've really started to concentrate on is reductive dissolution of phosphorus in our system because of the drainage water management and mineralization of soil organic matter and due to microbial reduction and during the times when the systems are in the control drainage mode. So to conclude here, we've got a system where we've seen that control drainage has been rather valuable in reducing the annual loads of phosphorus. However, when we look at the seasonality of it, we see that there are some things that are a little bit unexplainable and that control drainage could pose an issue for higher losses of P to surface waters during that period of time. And we're continuing further study with this to really try to get at the microbial reduction aspect and the reductive dissolution. We're performing some fairly specific research on trying to address the magnitude of the contribution to those two processes. And with that, thank you.
With those chemical sequesters?
Yeah, Mark.
It didn't look like the two systems were the same at the start.
You mean in 2006?
Yeah.
When you looked at that flow, yeah, and that's actually an artifact of looking at the, well, there's a lot of data that you don't see when we look. We've analyzed a lot of the soil data, and there are some differences in, say, water extractable phosphorus between the two sites before the drainage system was put in. So we know that there are some artifacts related to just the nature of the site and the scale of the site. But when we looked at the soil test phosphorus levels between the two sides, the actual averages and the lows and the highs were very similar in terms of that. So My sense was is that because of the nature of the conditions within the field, that there are some things going on. We've also looked at iron and manganese. So there might have been some things going on just because of the nature that the field was undrained previously that could have an impact
well,
on
actually, we meant that the absolute amount of tile flow was very different.
Well, yeah, yeah. And well, if you look at that, we were actually managing them the same in 06 and then differently in 07. So in 06 they were in conventional mode, in 07 they were in controlled mode. So that's why there was the big difference. That was the calibration period. I misinterpreted your question. So yeah, we managed, that's why I left out that data because I didn't want to confuse it. But in 06 we managed them both in conventional drainage, 07 controlled drainage, so we'd have some sort of regression to be able to compare things to when we did our stats. So, sorry about the misinterpretation.
Thank you, Mark. Jeff?